Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers of all ages will one day inhabit the New Jerusalem. The Bible says it's both gigantic and glorious. The book of Revelation gives us the details. And today we'll take a look at your ultimate address if you are a believer in Jesus. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Now, join us again for a look at our future with God.
So he sees this city. Now, it is generally believed that it's 1,500 miles or so square, a cube. There is a book written by a woman by the name of Janet Willis, who lost 6 children and did a detailed study, and she comes to a different conclusion. I'm not going to talk about that as such because it would need more exposition, but it's based on the book of Ezekiel. But let's, for our purposes, continue to believe that it is a cube. There's only one other cube in all the Old Testament. The only cube is the Holy of Holies. So this city now becomes the Holy of Holies, and we should not be surprised at that. It isn't a temple. The Bible says there's no temple because God and the Lamb are the temple of it. But here you have the beauty of this city. And notice the scripture says that the foundation are the apostles and the prophets, the 12 apostles and prophets. The gates, I believe it is, are the 12 tribes of Israel. You have the church and you have ancient Israel for whom God had distinct purposes, but they arrive together here. And the gates of the city, I won't take time to read it, but it's there, they'll never be closed. When you go into this city, you will not have to show your ID. You know, you won't have to be buzzed in. The gates are never closed of this city. Day and night they are open. And by the way, you never get tired. You never say, I have to sleep. No bedrooms in heaven, thank you. Because we all have glorified bodies. And we recognize one another absolutely. We're all going to recognize Bill Birchie in heaven. You'll recognize your mother. You'll recognize your wife. You're not given in marriage the way we are here, of course, but we'll recognize one another and we will connect. I don't think we need name tags, personally. That's based on a different passage, but can't prove it, but I don't think we need name tags. We'll know each other intuitively. And I think the reason it's a city, you know, the Bible begins in a garden and it ends in a city because city life, you live together in community. You know, Rebecca and I for many years lived in a condo, and the thing that we noticed is that we met people generally in hallways, in elevators, and so forth. That was the means of connection. And I think that we are going to happen on other people without planning, and we'll know each other and we'll say, my word, there's Abraham. Abraham, come on over here. I want to ask you, what was that like taking that knife and being willing to kill your son? And by the way, I hope to meet Isaac, spend a year or two with him. Nobody's going to say, well, you know, you're spending too much time with Abraham. Hey, chill. We have all of eternity. Everybody could meet with him for 100 years and not exhaust eternity. You have friends, as I do, that perhaps we've not seen for 10 or 15 years, and yet the minute we meet them, there's a connection. We don't even have to go back. It's not a matter of relearning our friendship. We just pick up where we left off. And that's the way it's going to be in heaven. Enjoying one another and reveling in the undeserved, beautiful grace of God. We are going to enjoy one another. That's why the Bible says when you sorrow at death, the death of a loved one, don't sorrow as those who have no hope, because we will meet again and Jesus will be in the center of it all. But old relationships will reconnect. Now, we're also going to enjoy ruling with Christ. And those of you who are artists, those of you who have vision and imagination, put this in your imagination bank. Chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal. All right, it's flowing from the throne of God. Establish that in your mind. It's flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb all the way through Revelation. I saw the throne of God and the Lamb. This is a parenthesis. Can you believe people who don't believe in the divinity of Jesus? Would we read in the Bible, and I saw the throne of God and this other creature that he once created? Give me a break. The reason that it is the throne of God, the Lamb sits on it, God sits on it, is obviously because Jesus has a right to be there on the throne of God with the Father. And the reason he keeps saying, you know, of the throne of God and of the Lamb is because, thank God for the Lamb, it's because of the Lamb that all this is happening. The Lamb of God who took away the sins of all who believe, the sins of the world. But anyway, okay, now, here you have God, and flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street, and I'm turning my Bible just like you should be, city on the either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That seems a little contradictory. Obviously, the people who are in heaven, the nations that are represented, they don't have any illnesses. What you have to understand is it is not so much a healing of the nations as the life-giving of the nations. And I think the reason it's there is because you have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Old Testament where they sinned. God says, I'm giving you a new tree now, the tree of life, symbolic of the fact that forever in heaven we will be invigorated. We will be given health-producing experiences. That's the word that I want. And as a result of that, there will be these trees. Every aspect of beauty that is imaginable will be there. A little girl was reading the night before she slept that evening pictures of Jesus. And in the morning, she said to her mother, I dreamt about Jesus. And he is so much more beautiful than the pictures. So all that we're doing today is to try to paint a picture, but it'll be more beautiful than the picture we're trying to paint. And then it isn't finished yet. You'll notice it says, no longer will there be anything accursed but the throne of God, there it is again, and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. Actually, the Greek word is better translated, serve him. This verse of Scripture has given rise to the idea that heaven is one long eternal worship service. So we begin on page one of the hymnal, then we go to page two, we sing our way through, and what a hymnal it's going to be. It's going to be a certain kind of music. I thought I'd throw that in. And we sing all the way through, and then we begin on page one again. No, there's going to be a lot of worship, but there's going to be lots of service. Jesus is going to give us assignments that we will delightfully do. There has to be time for us to connect as human beings, as saints, to rehearse the blessings of God that took place on earth. And maybe God videoed some events that we'd like to recall just so that we remembered the grace that plucked us out from the mud and put us on the marble. And then notice this. This is hard to read without tears coming to our eyes. There will no longer be anything cursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. His servants will worship him. And you'll notice, verse 4, they will see his face. His name shall be on their foreheads. And they shall reign with him. Verse 5, forever and ever. Calvin, the great theologian, said these words. And I'm paraphrasing them perhaps, but they're the kind of things that you ought to write down. You ought to take notes. If you don't, explain that to Jesus, and if he's fine with it, I'm fine with it too. I want you to catch this. Calvin said that Jesus accounts nothing as being his own, but that he shares it with the saints. There's nothing that belongs to Jesus that will not at some point belong to me. He shares it with the saints. D.L. Moody, in that great fire in 1871 that we all know about, the Chicago fire, he lost his home, was burned. He moved to Des Plaines for a while, but he came back and he looked at the ruins of his home, and somebody said, "Boy, you basically lost it all." And he said, "Oh, no, 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 I have a lot more wealth than this house." They said, "Oh, really? I didn't know that you were wealthy." And he took out his pen and he wrote in the Bible, Revelation 1, verse 7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things." Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. What do we make of all of this? Think of the perspective that this gives us. Life is hard. There are bills to pay, there's illness, there's marriage relationships that oftentimes go bad, there are wayward children, there's poverty, yes. We have all of those things happening around us, and we all experience what I think can be called the vicissitudes of life, the difficulties of life. I preach this message so that we might have an eternal perspective and know that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, this message was part of a much larger series entitled The Mysteries of God, where we talked about his eternality, his omnipotence. We discussed the justice of God, the decrees of God. I want you to have these for yourself. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours so that you can play them repeatedly, share them with your friends. Learn together with us what it is to try to probe the mysteries of God, knowing that we have severe limits, but thank God he has revealed himself. So in that sense, let us continue to pursue the knowledge and worship the living God.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Our Future with God, the last in a series on the mysteries of God. Next time, how the glory yet to be will make every moment of suffering on this earth worthwhile. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.